such kind of mental force is now defined by me, but I illustrate that in just a moment. But Gary Fisher had a really good lesson in one point that he made, part that one of the things that he said was that, you know, marriage and divorce is a very emotional issue. And I'm not asking just to as we go through these verses that you look at them objectively, and if that's the truth, you know, no matter how emotional it might be, how against, you know, what I feel, the person might be going ahead and accept it anyway. And what I might do, in case it comes up for here, right in my lesson, what I might do is ask after the lesson if anyone has any questions. I'll be glad to try to do my best to answer the scriptures after my lesson. And if you'd like to talk with me more after the sermon, that'd be fine too. So, we'll be talking about the subject of mental divorce. And if you look at the flyer for the media announcement, you may have read the whole title of the lesson. And that was mental divorce, meant for a white person to remarry if their former spouse commits fornication after the divorce. May have been a white person to remarry if their former spouse commits fornication after the divorce. Like, for example, let me illustrate that. Let's say you have a couple, Fred and Ethel. Fred and Ethel are married. Fred decides to divorce Ethel. He no longer loves her, whatever. She's praying, hoping, trying to get him not to divorce her, but he doesn't anyway. And after the divorce, Ethel continues to pray and to plead. Try to get reconciled with prayer, but he won't have it. He goes out and gets remarried. Some people say that she can now divorce him. And you don't know what divorce is already taking place. And so, what I mean by mental divorce is that she eventually puts him away and thinks that she has the right to remarry. In other words, she thinks that she can divorce the one that already divorced her. And so that's what I mean by the term mental divorce. Whatever, you know, really doesn't matter to this discussion whether or not the fornication occurs before Fred divorces Ethel or after Fred divorces Ethel. I don't believe it makes a difference. I believe there's a difference in the Bible. Right? In those two situations, the Bible would speak to both of those situations of life, I think. But it would be pretty long to have listed a title like that, and that's what we just listed a shorter title. But so it really doesn't matter where the fornication occurs, but the point is, some people think that a woman, if she's divorced against her will, or a man, that she can later divorce the person that divorced her who's guilty of fornication. Well, let me just give you a brief outline of what we'll be talking about. First of all, we're going to look at some key terminology on this subject. We'll look at terms like marriage, joined, and bound, and the term adultery. We'll look at those terms first of all, and secondly, we'll talk about a little bit about the general rule and the exception of marriage divorce. And then, thirdly, we'll look at some arguments for the position that one of the people that would say that yes, this woman has put away against her will can now mentally divorce her spouse and remarry. And in the words of one advocate of this position, he says you can call it that mental divorce if you want to. It takes place in the mind of the individual and in the mind of God, and therefore, in fact, so he says. But before we get into those three areas, let me just take just a moment just to look at a couple of verses just to show how this position cannot be true. No, it is not true. And we'll just go ahead and show that this position is wrong just to begin with before we get deep into our discussion. And you know, you could really take Matthew 5, 32, or Matthew 19:9, or Luke 16, verse 18. By themselves, and they found that each one of those verses by themselves would disprove this idea that the person is put away against their will to ever be married. First of all, let's look at Matthew 19, verse 9. Matthew 19, verse 9. In Matthew 19, verse 9, let's just read that quickly. Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except that he's a fornication, and shall marry another committed adultery. And who shall marry her which is put away except committed adultery? I think therefore probability in this verse. And I'll give you a hand here. And Gary Cox told this thought illustration from Gary Fisher. I thought it was very good illustration. Very well, 1919, verse 9. What do you say? 1999, verse 8. There's the possibility of one, a person due to divorce, or fornication. Or there's the possibility of a person due to divorce, or another reason that fornication is not true. In the first part, in the first phrase, 1919, verse 9. The last part of 1999, the big part, you can say, there's a possibility of a person being divorced or fornication. Or there's a possibility of a person being divorced for another reason, fornication. So I believe we can say that. But in fact, the mental divorce advocates, at least one of them, doesn't believe that all of these things are true. In fact, he would say that the person that's away from fornication is not even in his purse. He would say, well, great, they can't remarry the correct one here, but there's no authority for them to. Not that this verse would condemn, but I believe what you see from the first part of the verse, when it says, you search up your waste wine, and you have the deep fornication in your marriage, and you have to go to that, the last year, God takes one from the person who wanted it, who wanted to stand for fornication, or it could be that person who wanted to stand for another reason for fornication, and the last part of the verse, one to be put away for any cause, or fornication or otherwise, and you said, and you shall marry them, which is put away, set the good offering. What about the alcoholic person of our discussion about the mental divorce candidate? That is the one that thinks that she has the right to remarry after she's been put away for people. And, you know, just to illustrate, first time as the 1919 with Fox, on the top here we have what the divorce is for, because it's higher up here because there's a divorce in it. But the only possibility is not to be in first. He doesn't. First, we got the person that hired a discussion prior to the one that has been divorced against her will. The person may have committed adultery or not, maybe then he goes out and regards the people in prison, split away against her will. Where would they be? Well, would they be divorced for another reason than fornication? Everyone can see that. She split away against her will for another reason than fornication. She didn't want to divorce what the work of her being against fornication is for another reason. And the person, and she is the person who was divorced. Her husband, Fred Heffel, in this illustration, Fred divorced Heffel. That's where the person in our discussion fits in. She has been divorced. She is the one divorced for another reason, fornication. You know, Jesus didn't give her the right to remarry, did he? Not according to this verse. Who did Jesus give the right to remarry? To be this person with him. The person that had the divorce for fornication. The person that died in divorce for fornication may remarry. That's what the main part of 1999 says. Remember these two more in this verse. The more we refer to these throughout the discussion, the more they have the authority to remarry. It's the number one person. And if you think about the main part of the verse, I'm sorry for how precious the time is. Well, thank everyone to see that. The person has the authority to remarry is the person, number one, that does the reason why he does the divorcing. He does the divorcing for fornication. You know, acting out to you not alone with review, not of the other person who is divorced against their will and remarries with them. The church shall marry her just put away to the adultery. Luke 3:18 also condemns the first of our discussion, which is conversation. Let's read that verse. 3:16:18. Whosoever puts away his wife and marries another, commits adultery. And whoso marries her that is put away from her husband, commits adultery. Like that would say, you know, this verse just about word for word describes the person in the title of our lesson. This is like Fred Heffel. Fred divorces Heffel against her will, whatever. He goes out and gets remarried. And then she thinks that she can remarry. Isn't that exactly the thing we see here in Luke 16:18? A man puts away his wife, marries another, he commits adultery. And the one who marries her commits adultery. You know, what happened here? This exposition said, I'm going to put him here. I'll be referring to Marshall Mathers. So I'll be taking quotations from him after this discussion. I'm not sure if y'all have ever read. He had a discussion with H.G. Phelps in Searching the Scriptures many years ago. I got a copy of it on the seat there if you'd like to look at it. Or We're going to take a concern with these priests, and ask for brotherhood in Indiana, and ask for things for patients from here. The person that's mentioned before standing, this person has been put away against her will. He said, she's been put away from her personal authority without God's approval. She can now put him away.
Man or woman are bound by the law, which is as long as they live. That's something that God makes true.
no way of making progress. Finally, together is a beautiful fornication and not a person out. You know, you're only saying, chapter 7, verse 3, that if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she's no helpless, and she married another. But the general principle is that a man and woman are bound by the law to each other as long as they live. What about the man, Matthew 19, verse 9, that's why he's wanting fornication? He's allowed to marry another. But after Romans 7 says that the woman marries another, or her husband lives, she'll be called adulterous. How can a man of Matthew 19 not marry? Divorce or remarry without committing adultery? Well, you can no longer be bound to the woman in divorce. But she will be bound to him. That's why, since all marriage of his good wife is not, she's still bound to him. The joy, I like that this refers to the physical union, physical relationship in the Bible. In Ephesians 5, verse 3, Ephesians 5, verse 31, for this law shall man with his father and mother should be joined unto his wife, and then two should be one flesh. You know, this joy is something that man does, but it's also something that God does. In Matthew 19, verse 6, Jesus said, wherefore there are no more twain, but one flesh. Let therefore God have joined together, let not man put asunder. Man joined himself to his wife, they're one flesh, but God also joined that union. I believe that this approves of the Matthew 19, verse 8. And it commands in 1 Peter 7, verse 5. First Peter 7, verse 5, and brought you not one the other, except the people should send for time that you may give yourselves fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. So, the joining of the man does, the God does, the approves of it, and commands it. But he also condemns it in some cases in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Why know ye not that he which is joined with harlot is one body, or two, is that he shall become one flesh? But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined up to a harlot is one flesh with her, or two, is that he shall become one flesh. God condemned that joining, but he approved it in scriptural marriage. And man, your friend, by God joined Matthew 19, verse 6, let not man put in son, if God joined it, let not man not do it, he's better than he seems. And, we have an definition of these words, the difference between these words. You can say, it's clear from the discussion, they don't believe they're different from the Bible, so the difference between them. You are a woman not being married to a man, and she's not bound, that's the situation in Romans 7. She has a husband, she wasn't married to another, she takes it over. She married a man, so she's not bound. Mind is married to another. Divorcing, not bread, you forget a divorcing apple and remarrying. Sally. And if you can stay with Sally the rest of the time, if you just repeat of those names. But I want to know what that is going to remain this offer. As long as she married that man who was in her story, so many miles her husband David, she can marry to another man, she shall be called adulterous. As long as that man lives and she's married to another, she has committed adultery. How would she have to stop committing adultery? Stop living with that man, stop committing that fornication, get out of that marriage. Just touch on it. You know, I think, when we look at, we're talking about literal adultery, and I'm talking about fornication. And, you know, we can see that from all these different versions, like a father takes a man and goes into a baby's life. It's adultery with it. Or it's acting fornication, not covenant, not clean. When he entered his adultery, he did not break his covenant. He said that he would be true to her all his life. He broke his covenant, right? But he also committed adultery. He also committed fornication. Matthew 5, verse 27, 28, Jesus says, you've already said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I pray to you, and your servant looks on what was a much after her, and committed adultery with her already. So what did you do? Think of the acts of divorce and remarriage, or these things, the fornication involved. you've got too many retired truck drivers. That's why the chart comes out of the rifle formation. Simply put, the one that may repair is the one that is not there on 31. For example, the one who is never repaired, the person is that first time.
Paraphrase Jesus'
Exodus 1, verse 2, 1, and January, it would be honored to be very, very good thing. If there was a way to find all fornication, they were married. And one of those things that they could remarry is the way the law provided this slavery other than fornication. Probably they think that they couldn't get back now to die. You know, specifically, Luke 16, 18, that was a divorce. For another cause of fornication, it is his worship for the wastewater and very out of your filter. You know, we can get the idea that we can prepare what the first is to prepare for Jesus, not for Jesus. Why are some things they can prepare for a while? It's a free way to a man. You know, Jesus said, you, for the way of life, for fornication, and you can prepare. If Jesus said that, why not? Some things that their wives didn't bring away, but they could remarry. Not when the bread apple is a kind of roll, it's just a bread, apple. She remarries. Well, I would have a thing from what Jesus said that she could remarry if she wasn't the one that did the divorce, or did the divorce for her. Remember, good thing. Maybe not the first time, this would be the way to go. You would be the one that bring away, and you must bring away your son for a fornication. You know, we can understand. Created. Here, there's a kind of routine for them, and they get provisions for him. Why can't we, why can't everyone understand that we have to create a life for fornication, for prayer? I was not going to ask people to read it, it's just the same kind of sense that you have to be personal. Thank you. friend of horse of Ethel, still a horse. In fact, she's Ethel. I'm heavily married just because she has been divorced. I pray that keeps her from remarrying. Then, that still a horse, that man in law, you're allowing a divorce for some reason, fornication, maybe for a person to remarry. But, you know, that's what God says, would that be true? If God said that a person is an unlawful divorce, a person who's unlawfully divorced again, a person who's divorced for another reason, fornication, he said that they've been remarried, wouldn't that? Shouldn't we believe that? When a person says, you know, the law is not always necessary for God to join people in marriage, then surely if God can join them in marriage without the authority, which does not prevail, he can turn them on without the authority, which is where it ever prevails, which is where it ever prevails. And so he has just put away one possible authority in the mind of Jesus, not for the money. So she has put away one possible authority without God's approval. She can now put away without the authority without God's approval. You can call it just the force of evil. So she has put away one possible authority without God's approval. You know, very frankly, she has put away one. Very frankly, she has put away without God's approval. It's exactly why God says she can remarry. Because this person, very reason why this person says she can't remarry, the very reason why God says she couldn't, she's put away without God's approval. And this is only her life, and it's that way to say it. The person puts away the bride to marry another. Isn't that talking about her scriptural divorce? An unlawful divorce, a divorce for some other cause of fornication, a divorce without God's approval. And she was said that some marriage was put away to its children. That's the very person Jesus said could not remarry this. That's the very person that made him say he can. She could remarry if she had been put away with God's approval, even though it's full fornication. Here's one quotation of a person who put away a group of civil rights to make a deal out of the divine bride. The way they're made for marriage. This is not a man's bride. We just put the law by the divine law. In other words, bread for special. Special doesn't still have the right to put away her mate to put her away. This is not that they're right to be put. She can walk up God's law. You know, it's the divine law. Maybe it's one of the people who wait for another call to point that she would not remarry. Unless you've seen forsaken, the divine law stated that a person divorced for another call to fornication can't remarry. A person is divorced for fornication can't either. The divine law stated they both can't remarry. You know, the divine law never gave the divorced person the right to remarry. Make sure it's a part of the divine law. That's how the divine law is the one that's divorced, the right to remarry, the right to divorce. In this case, would you argue the slave such as a put-away person, remember this pain away from you, or if you're on a nation, one man says to the other, in a discussion, honor and better remain, therefore have no value of the divine prerogative of the mind of the human heart due to the divine law. Your divorce brother calls the fornication as a view of the divine law of faith and first two forms of this mouth calls the we don't listen to that verse yet. Okay. But I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. He puts her in a situation where she commits adultery. He causes it. If Brad divorces Ethel for another reason, fornication, he could cause it. When she remarries, he could cause her committed adultery. He wouldn't cause her to adultery. She's already guilty of it. But he wouldn't cause her to do it. He would put her in that situation and cause her to do it. If he divorced her for any other reason. You know, this is what this viewer of the divine law says to the person who commits adultery. When they marry one, they put away for a reason of fornication. You know, I pray, according to something that says, but what should happen to that age you know, according to your own nation, the bond is ever removed. How we bring the bond and ever makes all of it. You say, but ever makes the bond and makes all of it. Pursue a man and woman around the law as long as they live. It remains, but the marriage does not. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11. But if she departs, let her remain unmarried. Let her remain unmarried. She got married. What would she be doing? She'd be committed adultery. Why? She's still bound to that man. She's unmarried, but she's still bound to that man. Verse 39 would show it to her. Here again, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39 would show it. She were bound by the law to each other's law familiar. She's unmarried, but she's bound. Well, I'm praying. she's still married here, but she's not married here. Here's another quotation. Jesus, very important, how precious is the law of Christ in teaching you how precious our law in regard to marriage, for your wife, or getting your children. Initial error is solved when the legal interpretation of the law are opposed to teaching Jesus. All people should abide by the law of the people of the time of the family. The operation of God's business. Next part. The speaker's operation of the civil law is not true and false. We know why he is. We're in second place. The operation of civil law. The procedures and operations of civil law are not true and false. We know why he is. We're in second place. The gospel of the Son. He said that the law is determined by force, courage, or by Jesus. He does a great practice of denying all sins for a person in the form of his crown from the law of fornication. In 16:18, he showed that the law can't determine what the way it is and when it takes place. You know, that's not true for what a person has to do to violate in 16:18. You know, when God would enforce my wife for burning the biscuits, we have not been covered in 16:18 with her away from the law of fornication. You know, right back to Jesus, they should put their wife away for another reason. Fornication shows that the law can't determine what the way is when it occurs. You know, when it's connecting the provocation of a person, provocation is not good in their personality, or they start up their authority without God's approval. What is it? If it's not talking about a force against God's will, what is it talking about? I mean, it's just what it is talking about that. Divine law takes a person to force against their will and God's will. They now bring their hands and have to be developed in the 16:18 and all the other verses they do.
A man forces his wife, marries another, he commits adultery against the first one.
some may agree with that, or if they have been misinterpreted beside that one. But what they try to say is, well, since he was misinterpreted, it's her, the person, and they try to prove it's definitely the person that the woman is still really married. Why would that necessarily be so? Wouldn't it necessarily be that they're still bound? I mean, it's sad that he puts her away, he divorces her, he marries another, that they're not married anymore. But they're still bound. Romans chapter 7, verse 33.